I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome into Cougar Tracks here on KSLSports.com and KSL News Radio, your legacy home of the BYU Cougars. Mitch Harper here. The last few weeks since the murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis have been enlightening and an opportunity for someone like myself, a Caucasian male, to listen to people's stories about systemic racism and discuss ways on how we as a society can dismantle it. So I'm pleased to be joined here on Cougar Tracks by BYU basketball legend Yoli Childs, who earlier this week shared powerful statements and experiences via his personal Instagram about being a black male in the state of Utah. Yoli, thanks for joining me today on Cougar Tracks.
No, I really appreciate you having me on. Thank you for the opportunity.
Appreciate it as always, Yoli. And thank you for sharing those life experiences on your social media posts. It was eye-opening because I think so many people in this great state and community, they think, including myself, sometimes think we're immune to some of these things we see on the news in other parts of the country. But that's not the case, as you eloquently put on your Instagram post. So, you know, what inspired you to share those experiences that, you know, are a sensitive topic?
Yeah, for sure. I think, first off, I believe it's important to be genuine and important to be yourself all the time. And I think that when you're in a position where people kind of know who you are, and especially with the relationship I've been able to develop with this amazing state and with the incredible BYU fans, they really feel like family to me. And, you know, these are things that I feel you should discuss with your family. So that's kind of how I look at it is, I think that, you know, when people are in a position where they're a little more well known, it's kind of your duty to, express yourself and express the things you go to. You know, I've always tried to be very open with, you know, my conversion, with why I chose BYU. I've been very open about, you know, the suspension I dealt with and all that stuff. And this was just another part of my life that I felt was important at this time to share.
And how have you felt about the response people have shown to your posts? And I ask this because social media can be, you know, a wild, wild west of differing opinions. But, I mean, just from my vantage point, it seems like people have been universally supportive. How's the reaction been on your end?
Yeah, I've been so unbelievably grateful for this amazing state and the amazing people that live here. It's been, you know, eye-opening on my end to see how many amazing people are here. You know, I already knew that, you know, there's amazing people here. I already knew, like, Cougar Nation, for example, is unbelievable. But, you know, they just deepened that love and that respect I have for them. When I went to make that post, right before I hit share, I was sitting there with my wife, and we kind of looked at each other like, should we disable the comments? You know, like,
yeah.
So it's like you said, social media gets pretty wild, and we were just kind of like, no, we're going to just be very vulnerable here and, you know, kind of trust the people in this community. And what the response has been was more than I could have ever imagined, and I'm just grateful for the amazing people that live here.
Talking with Yoli Childs here on Cougar Tracks. You can follow Yoli on Instagram at YoChilds22 to see his full post if you've missed it. And in your post, Yoli, you made a reference to the experience when you were 11 and having a woman be panicked and lock her car door when seeing you. How did that experience, in retrospect, when you were typing this post, how did that, when you think about your life, how did it shape your life growing up?
You know, I think that for me personally, those are just things you kind of get used to dealing with. And as sad as it might sound, when I see people, when I see police officers, I always try to make the conscious effort to smile, wave, come across as friendly, because some of the experiences I've had have made me realize that, you know, some people see, quite frankly, a big black guy as being threatening. So that's kind of how that's impacted the way I go about my day to day. The things that are harder for me personally to grasp and deal with are the situations that my brothers had to face. You know, I think we all understand in our individual families, a lot of times it can be almost harder on you when you see things happening to a loved one than it is when it happens to yourself. So that's definitely been the one of the harder things for me to deal with. But personally, it's almost just part of, you know, who you are.
And one of the things that's been a fascinating dynamic in this historic movement that we're witnessing has been the protest. And, you know, people have shared a lot of differing opinions about the protests. How do you view those? And I know you referenced them in your post. And what do you hope to have these protests, the outcome maybe that comes from these protests that are taking place around the world?
Yeah, you know, the first thing I'm going to say is I don't condone violence. I don't. I don't condone any injustice of any kind. And, you know, violence is one of those things. I think that something we have to understand is people are really hurt. People are very deeply hurt right now. And it's not just because of George Floyd. It's about the fact that it feels like this situation is brought up every couple of years. And, you know, I think that it's important to realize that people express their frustrations and emotions in all kinds of ways. And I believe that as a country, people are so deeply frustrated right now that they don't know how to express themselves and they don't know what to do, because it feels like no matter how you protest, it's viewed as the wrong way to protest. You sit on a bench and people say you're being disrespectful. You talk to someone in the military and they suggest that you take a knee because it's more respectful. It's seen as disrespectful. You protest, it's seen as disrespectful. So it seems like there's a point where people feel, you know, what can we do? No matter what we do, it seems like it's disrespected. So that's my personal belief on where people are at. And I think it's important to understand that, you know, we've all been through our own life scenarios, and we can think about our life and the way that we've had to grow and mature and learn to communicate our feelings and express our emotions. And we have to understand that when people feel so deeply hurt, they don't necessarily know the way to express that and know the way to make change. So I think we need to be, you know, Christ-like at this time and have empathy for people, not point fingers and not say, well, this is wrong, but we need to come together at this time and have empathy for one another.
Yoli Childs is my guest here, KSLSports.com, KSL News Radio. And Yoli, you were the past 4 years at BYU, the stats don't lie, the predominantly white university. I'm curious, you know, from your experience, and you referenced in your post an incident you had with a cop when you were getting pulled over, and how were race relations handled at BYU from your experiences the past 4 years?
Yeah, that's interesting, because my experience as a black student athlete at BYU is definitely different than the experience of a black student at BYU. So I don't think I can speak for, you know, the black community on campus, because I was someone that was more well known on campus. So most of my interactions were, oh, we're so excited for the game, great game. And it was always very positive about basketball. Something that I can relate to is someone was very open in a comment on my post that I saw. And, it was amazing to me their openness, their vulnerability, and their self-awareness. They talked about when they were at BYU, they would notice that if they saw a black person on campus, they would catch themselves staring at them and then make eye contact, feel bad for staring, and look away, and then try to avoid eye contact with black people because they didn't want to feel like they were staring. So I've been on the other side of that, and I don't think that's racism by any means. I think that's being around people that you're not used to being around that look different than you. And I think human nature is to look at something that you're not used to seeing. So that's kind of been my experience with the students and everything at BYU.
You bring up a good point, though, about sometimes with, because I've talked with football players in the past who have expressed similar situations, maybe when they're kind of first on campus, that they kind of get looked at. And it just seems like sometimes it's, you know, people, they almost act like, you know, it's the first time they've seen maybe a black person. I don't know. But, you know, what are some opportunities or things that maybe you'd recommend to people who are white that maybe don't know how to show their support in this historic time we're living in, or maybe just educate themselves in regards what's truly taking place right now?
Yeah, that's a very hard question to answer because people are so different. Sure. You know, you might come up to, you know, one black person on campus and say, you know, I stand with you, talk to them in a positive way like that. But then on the other hand, that person might be very uncomfortable with strangers just coming up and talking to them. So, you know, the best thing that I can imagine happening is there being more diversity on campus. And that, I think that would be an amazing thing, but then that's another issue that's very hard to tackle because it's not that, I don't know if necessarily it's that only a certain amount of white students are being accepted. I don't think it's anything like that. It's just culturally how many black people are actually applying to BYU and wanting to go to school there. So that's a tough question. I don't really have the answers to that one, but I think that more diversity on campus in some way would be a huge benefit just to be around different cultures and different people.
How cool has it been, Yoli, to see, you know, college athletes? I know you've concluded your collegiate career and getting ready for the pros and want to touch on that here in a few moments, but I think it's been really cool to see college athletes around the country realizing that their voices are very powerful at Oklahoma State, at Florida State. They have strong voices. I feel like we're entering a great era where, you know, the college athlete has a voice and they realize it now and they can have that platform to create, you know, positive change and bring more dialogue. Have you witnessed that? And what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that social media has been great in that regard. I think social media has given everyone a voice and a platform where they can share whatever they're feeling with the world. I think the only downside is that we tend to not be able to read tone very well. So that's why I feel social media becomes so argumentative. But I think it's great that so many people are speaking up and just speaking up for what they believe is right and sharing their experiences. I think the more we can share our experiences and share what we all go through in our lives, I think that's where we'll be able to connect more as human beings.
How do you plan to use your platform and your status going forward into your professional career? What do you hope to do with your platform?
Yeah, I hope to be someone that always stands up for what I believe in. You know, I'm someone that when I think about how I want to live my life, I think about the Savior. I think about Jesus Christ. And, you know, I know some people listening might not be religious people, but that's just personally how I try to live my life. And I try to think in different scenarios, what is the Christ-like thing to do here? So that kind of drives the way I act and the way I respond to things. So, you know, I hope to stand up for the disenfranchised in the way that he did. I hope to speak openly and honestly in a way that isn't violent or argumentative, but in a way that seeks real change and understanding. So that's how I hope to continue my life.
NBA teams listening, I mean, how can you turn this guy away? You got to select Yoli Childs, and I want to touch on that real quick before we let you go, Yoli. You know, the NBA draft process, it's obviously been a lot different this year because of the COVID-19 pandemic and everything's been pushed back. And the NBA, we could be seeing the draft potentially in October, not sure when. But how has this process been? Have you been able to still talk with NBA teams throughout all of this?
Yeah. It's been an interesting process for sure, different than any other year, as we all know. But I'm an optimist, and it's been really cool to be in a generation where we have such a great access to technology. So I've been doing Zoom interviews with teams, and that's been a really great and fun process just to get to know them and for them to get to know me. And I think that we're very fortunate to have this access to each other and the access to technology that we do have. So it's been a different process. You know, you always hope for certain things, but I've been happy with the process so far, and the feedback has been really good. So it's been a fun process.
Have you received any indication that workouts at team facilities could actually happen, or is that still kind of up in the air?
Yeah, all that stuff's still up in the air as far as I know. You know, some teams are making it sound like hopefully we'll get you in workouts coming up, and then other teams make it sound like, you know, we're planning on drafting based off interviews and film. So I think it's still up in the air and nobody really knows.
And just last thing, Yoli, I mean, again, thank you for spending so much time here with me. How did, in regards to preparing for the NBA, how did your time at BYU prepare you for the NBA game?
Man, I cannot thank BYU enough. You know, my teammates, my coaches, fan base, everything about it has got me ready for this next stage. I'm grateful for both coaching staffs I had with Coach Rose and Coach Pope. They both did very unique things for me. Coach Pope was able to kind of show me his perspective of what it took to make the NBA. He made several teams through training camps and an unprecedented number. So he's kind of showed me his perspective of what it takes to make it, what it takes to be a glue guy on a team. And, you know, just their different experiences has helped me out a ton. And the teammates I've had that have pushed me and trusted me and loved me like a brother have all helped me get where I am today. And, you know, I'm eternally grateful for all of them.
You can follow him on Instagram and Twitter at YoChilds22. He's BYU basketball legend and soon to be professional NBA player, Yoli Childs. Yoli, thanks for sharing your experiences this week. It was really powerful stuff. I appreciate that. Thank you for spending the time here with me, and good luck to everything that you do, and stay safe, you and your wife, and looking forward to seeing what you do in the future.
I really appreciate your time. Thanks for having me on.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.